We hear John the Baptist again saying of Jesus, he's going to take his winnowing hook and he's going to thresh, thoroughly clear the threshing floor, and he's going to gather his wheat into the barn, and the chaff is going to be burned up. That stuff that has no fruit, that stuff that's full of unbelief and doubt and fear, that is going to go by the wayside. It's going to be put in a pile. It's going to be burned up. And you will read that in Matthew 3, 10 and 11 and 12. But John says he's going to come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But if you don't establish yourself with good fruit, if you don't begin to say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Yes, Jesus, those healings that you performed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe they're for me today. And I'm going to stand on the faith that, yes, I have the faith of God. That's how things come. That's how things happen, Darren. Not with doubt and fear and unbelief, but with a growing faith.
Now, you know, we have a tape message called Beware the Traditions of Men. Mm. Here, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, the cousin of Jesus, it says here in Matthew 3:1, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching, didn't say in the temple, it no. didn't say in the church, it says in the wilderness of Judea. Unfortunately today, many of you are going to have to get out of that traditional framework if you're going to get healed, mm-hmm. because they don't, you know, healing makes them uncomfortable. Folks, very honestly, people that do not flow in the anointing are very jealous of those that do. Because those that flow in the anointing are going to see miracles. Those that are going to go with programs and their traditional message of the church are not going to have miracles.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Because the miracles don't come out of programs. It comes out of the anointing of God.
That's right.
That's from people that spend a lot of time on their face before the Lord, asking Him for revelation, asking Him to increase their faith, asking Him to really give them the mysteries of Scripture. That's the way that anointing flows.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know God and getting the Word of God in great measure in their hearts. The anointing only comes off of the Word.
That's right. And sometimes I've seen people, Darren, come to us and say, we want to be healed. But like the Pharisees here that came to John in the third chapter, they said, we want to be baptized. John knew them. They were hypocrites. He said, you brood of vipers, how dare you come to me
right.
when you're not
right.
even believing in this Jesus that I'm talking about. You're not believing in this message that I'm bringing to the people. You're not believing in this message of repentance and salvation. How dare you? And Darren, I see people, very few, but I see people that come, they're full of fear and doubt and unbelief and skepticism and cynicism. And
mockery.
Mockery, that's right, mockery. Okay, if you can do anything, do it. Well, you're not going to see anything done when they come in that kind of attitude like the Pharisees had right here in chapter 3.
And it's almost like it's a sideshow. You know, all right, preacher, do your thing. I mean, hurry up and get it over
with.
You know, we have people like that talk to us, and folks, it won't work under those circumstances.
No.
You've got to have faith in your heart and get out of that unbelief and stop looking for all the reasons why it won't work.
Oh,
that's
boy, isn't
gone
that?
The seed.
I'll tell you, that is a big thing today. We think of all the things why it won't work instead of the things that it will work.
Yeah, but let me say this to you. I got a telephone call just this last week, and a lady was saying, you know, my friend's brother's just too young to die, and so I started asking some questions. Well, here this gentleman hadn't been to church for years, and the church he'd been raised in was a church of unbelief. Now, tell me, what chance does this guy have of getting healed?
That's right, and he didn't come and call us.
He didn't call
he
us.
He may not even want what this relative is asking for.
So now the relative had not stayed in the Word, hadn't stayed under under miracle teaching. So now they're beginning to question, well, I just don't think that stuff that Darren used to teach works. Let me tell you, folks, it's not what I used to teach. It's what's in the Word
That's
of God.
That's right. Absolutely
you
true.
You need to go to the Word of God. And don't blame me or your preacher, and don't give me credit when it happens. When you get healed, it's God. It's not Darren. It's God. I may help you and assist you, but the only way I can do that is get the Word of God into your heart so faith springs up in your heart. And then when you reach up like the lady with the issue of blood, you touch God and virtue or power will be released to you and you'll get what God sent Jesus to the cross for.
That's
he
right.
He died so that we could get healed.
That's right. We don't get credit for praying for people when they've got fear, doubt, and unbelief and it doesn't work. You know,
we don't
get credit for the healings because God is the one who takes all that credit.
Before I give up my soapbox here, I got to say one more thing. Some of you that listen to us on the radio and come to class and you're listen to our materials, you got our tapes and you know can know where we stand, but you're still for some reason staying in a church of unbelief where they teach against what the Bible teaches. You're on very dangerous territory. In fact, I believe you're allowing sin to come into your life by a consent of ignorance.
That's right.
You need to get out of that unbelief, and one day you'll pay dearly.
And you're saying, well, you know, the things that Darren and Barbara say about tithing and giving, it doesn't work because I'm in financial mess. You are giving to a dead body. You're giving to a dead church. You're giving to a place where there is no power, and don't expect that money to come back to you 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Right,
the soil that you're putting it into is not good soil. Read it in Matthew 13. The parable of the seed and the sower, you have got to put that seed into good, cultivated, established soil.
You don't plant your garden out in the driveway.
That's right.
Or in the middle of the street.
That's right.
I mean, the seed has to go into the soil. It's got to be good soil. Folks, we're saying these things. This is a strong message, but we're saying it to you because we want you to win. And if they don't respect divine healing, they're not respecting the message of Jesus. Look
mm-hmm.
how much he healed.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just he was a nice man walking around with flowing robes and long hair.
That's right.
He was out there and he had a lifestyle of healing.
He ran into
somebody on the road going from one place to the next, and they cried out, I need to be healed, and he healed them.
That's right. In the first part of Matthew, though, Darren, we're going to go into the eighth chapter here in just a few minutes, but the first part of Matthew, Jesus is talking to the people on a hillside, and it has nothing to do with physical healing. And we call it the Beatitudes. But it has nothing to do about physical healing. It has everything to do with the heart. And that's where Darren and I are talking to you about right now, is
that's the heart.
It's a heart issue first. Then when you see it in the spirit, when you get it established in the spirit, it will come in the natural. We guarantee that. But a lot of people, they stop short in their heart and they don't believe. But if you have a chance, read Matthew 5 through 7. It is going to bless you. It talks about blessed are the poor in spirit. It talks about do not be anxious about what you will wear or what you will put on or what you will eat or what you will drink. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He goes on and on about these kind of things, and then we're going to get into the eighth chapter here. When he comes down off the mountain,
after
teaching the people about their heart attitude, boom, immediately he gets into physical healing.
You know, I'm going to make an assumption that as you're listening to this tape, because you tell by the title on this tape, that we're interested in healing here. We want to teach you about healing, but there's a couple of things that you need to do if you're really serious about getting healed. One is you need to ask God, is there any sin in my life? You know, is there anything between me and you, Lord? If there is, show me. And folks, you need to have the attitude. You want God to show you. And secondly, you want to repent. And you need to make a deal with God. You need to say, look, you show me any sin that's come into my life, and I will immediately repent and let you wash me clean. 1 John 1:9. You know, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, but you have to confess it.
That's right.
He won't just come in and by an act of his will and volition say, okay, you got sin in your life. I want to take it out of there because it's hurting you and it's messing up our relationship here. He doesn't do that. He waits for you to recognize it and accept what's already paid for. And that forgiveness, by the way, is on will call for you. Secondly, one of the biggest things that keeps people from receiving divine healing that will take you on to divine healing will take you into divine health, is unforgiveness. And that's just so pervasive in the body of Christ. You need to ask God, is there something or someone that I'm holding a grudge against, or there's something that shouldn't be there? And if it is, then you need to say, God, as an act of my will, I forgive them and release that person, and I forgive and release myself. And thirdly, most of the time, we blame God. And we say, God, I judge you innocent. I've been judging you as wrong. But I forgive and release you, Father, because I've wrongly held you in contempt, or I've held you in disrespect, and I need that forgiveness to flow through me here. I need to get that taken care of. I believe when you do those two things, you're really on your way to getting healed.
Mm-hmm, that's
right. But you can't have those filters in your life, those stumbling blocks. God can't work through sin in your life and through unforgiveness. Get it out of there, let him take it, and then we're on our way to healing.
I believe
we've set a marvelous platform here, Barbara, for getting healed.
That's right. Well, let's go to chapter 8 of Matthew.
Praise God, I love it.
This is a wonderful chapter. Right after Jesus has spoken for five, six, and seven, three chapters, that's right. And he's on the mountainside, and people are listening to his wonderful, new, refreshing message. We have bridged over from the Old Testament into the New Testament, from the Old Covenant into the New Covenant. God is the same God, but now through Jesus, he's doing a new thing. And he promised that in Isaiah. He said, behold, you know, the past is gone, and I'm going to do a new thing here. It's going to spring up. And so here we see it's manifested and confirmed through Jesus. In 8:1, he had come down from the mountain and great multitudes followed him, and behold, immediately, Darren, here is an issue, a physical healing issue, and it's probably the AIDS of that day. It's leprosy. A leper meets him, and he says, Jesus, if you're willing, you can heal me. You can cleanse